2 minutes to live. So, okay. Hey, Thomas. Hey. So, Thomas, we've got a minute to go. If, okay. So we're gonna try this. I wonder if we should do phone. If Thomas, are you able to call our guest? Okay, so Susan, let's do that. Should we do your home number?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So Thomas, did you hear that? So it's 212-427-9600. Okay, I'm going to hang up, Susan, because they're going to call you, okay? All right, bye.
Okay.
So that's 212-246. I'm sorry, I'm starting over. 212-427-9600. Susan, thank you. She's our first guest, and we're ready to go as soon as you get her on. Thank you. Did you say she's added?
Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, accredited lifestyle astrologer and founder of Astrology Zone, Susan Miller.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Rasa Priya. I am Mark Lejeure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Are you ready? We are entering a brave new world, says our guest, Susan Miller. I've been reading her latest book, The Grand Mutation of Saturn Junction or Conjunct Jupiter. A new 200-year cycle that will rapidly shift life as we know it. So when I was speaking with Susan earlier today, she was saying that we're right on the bridge and it's a great thing and it's perfect. And I said to Susan, I said, you know, the visual that comes to mind and the experience I feel like I'm having reminds me of when I was a child. Growing up in Monterey, California, we had Dennis the Menace Park. It's still there. But the bridge, one of my favorite things that was there, that's no longer there, was a bridge. And it was a roped bridge that went across what seemed like a really, really high ravine. It was wood. And when we walk across, it would shake. Now, the big kids would walk across and shake it on purpose and make it swing and scare us little kids. And that's the bridge, that's the visual that I had. So I can't wait to dig into the conversation with Susan when we get to that.
I'm super excited for tonight's show. You know, over the years and learning more about astrology, but watching the different correlations, you know, for me, it's like when you're playing sports, you know, if you know what the conditions are going to be, you got a better chance of playing the game well. And that's what I feel astrology is.
Well, we have the perfect person to talk to about all of this. She's a 14-time best-selling astrology book author. She's one of the first on the internet to have an astrology website, if not the first. And she's quoted and printed in so many magazines over all the years. And her website, Astrology Zone, is one of the most popular out there. So we're excited to have accredited lifestyle astrologer and founder of Astrology Zone and so much more, Susan Miller, on the show. Susan, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Oh, I'm thrilled. Thank you.
Well, I'm excited.
Exciting to be with you.
Did you like my bridge analogy?
Well, that was the exact same. You know, I was thinking of a bamboo bridge or something that creaked but swayed and was a little scary because we had to get from one side of this great big ravine that's very deep. When you're walking across a bridge, you should only look straight ahead, never down. Just look straight ahead and just keep going. Don't stop. And no, our visions were very similar.
It's very interesting. And you're saying we should be excited to be on this scary bridge right now.
Well, yeah. You know, well, I have to explain. First of all, the name of the book is The Next 200 Years. It's just very simple. It's a book with almost 10,000 words. So for me, that's very short. I write such long books. And it's on Kindle and on bookbaby.com, which has all devices and even a PDF. You don't even need a device. But what caused it is Jupiter and Saturn have dinner only once every 20 years. They never conjoin more than that. So they, you know, they sit down, they pick a nice restaurant, and the elements that they meet in, fire, air, earth, or water, and the sign that they meet in colors all of society globally. So over the past 200 years, looking back, they've only met in Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn. Every 20 years. They never jumped in front of each other. You know, they didn't say, let's skip Virgo. They always mathematically perfect, except for one little aberration, which I'll get to later. And so what did we accomplish over the last 200 years? And, you know, when you think this country is only 246 years old, or maybe 247. We're very young. And what was our country like? It was underdeveloped. We built bridges and roads and tunnels and cathedrals and skyscrapers. But we also developed the Industrial Revolution and the assembly line. It's so hard to believe that there were no supermarkets. We would have to go down to the general store. If we felt like having cereal, well, the shopkeeper would say, I hope the barrel came in off the ship. Oh, wait a minute, here's the oatmeal barrel. Let's scoop out some oatmeal for you in a little paper bag. Now, let's say you needed a suit, or if you're a girl, a dress. Well, here's the fabric. You have to go home and sew it. Or in the case of a man, you have to go down to the tailor and give him this fabric, and he'll make you the suit. So there was no off the rack. It wasn't like going to Bloomingdale's and picking up something. It was very different. And Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn are earth signs. They are considered consumer shopping signs because you touch and feel with earth. You know, the things you can see and feel. So now, on December 21st, 2020, that year of the pandemic, they met, and they met in Aquarius, and they will never again meet in Earth signs again in our lifetime, because they're going to meet in Aquarius, Libra, Gemini, or air signs, which are very different from Earth signs, for the next 200 years. So we're really lucky to be living at a time when we see the transition. Most people live within the 200 years and never get to see anything different. Our life is going to have a very different look and feel as a result of that grand conjunction. Now, remember I said there was one little aberration, and that happened in 1980. They were always meeting in Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, over and over and over, every 20 years. Always on a different day, but within that 20th year. Well, in 1980, they met in Libra. That's an air sign. But then in the year 2000, 20 years later, they went back to Taurus. So they went back to Earth. So I was trying to think, why does the universe always give us a little preview? It always does. It gives us like a little periscope, and then it goes back. And I was like, why does it do that? And what is the significance? Why did it do it in 1980? Well, it always does it before it's going to make a big change. So, you know, and it made its big change in 2020. And then I realized, 1980, those babies are now, well, by 2020, they were 40 years old. Now they're 43. And you cannot get to age 40, 41, 42, 43 without putting a stake in the ground. You've done something courageous. You might have started a business, written a book, moved cross-country or maybe even overseas to live. Maybe you had gotten married or had a baby, or maybe you bought your first house. Everybody does things at different times, but it was a big step. By the time you're 40, you're grown up. And then I realized those babies born in 1980 have this in their DNA. They had the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in Libra. That's air. They will be the ones, and you always have to give a plus or minus 5 degrees. So that means anyone born between 1975 and 1985 will be the leaders of this revolution that will help us walk across the bridge and give their hand to us and say, it's going to be fine. Follow me. Come along. You're going to like where you're going.
Mm.
Now you say, well, what's the difference? What's the difference between earth and air? Air doesn't care about what you own. It doesn't matter if you have a bigger car than your neighbor or a prettier house or a designer bag like on Instagram. That's not important. For air, it's what you've experienced, what you've learned, and what you share with others, that you contribute to others. And air people usually like to debate a lot. It's like fun for them. Like Libra, look, they become lawyers, the Libras, you know, or they love, you know, they marry lawyers, or they just love that whole debate of finding fairness. Whereas Aquarius loves the scientific method, keep extra, you know, if you've ever had your computer on the blink, the technician will keep eliminating different problems until they get to the right one. And with Gemini, it's constantly sifting to find the truth, because that is the sign of the journalist. And, you know, Aquarius is the sign of the scientist, and Libra the sign of the lawyer or judge or person trying to find fairness. So
Susan,
this is the age we're going into, and we're not going back to the way it was, because we've completed that. And now, well, they're saying we're going to be able to go to London on an airplane that only takes 3 hours, and all these different shifts are going to happen.
Well, that's what I was just about to ask you. That's what I was just about to ask you. What do we have to look forward to?
Yeah, well, you see, there's something else going on at the same time, which is underscoring the big changes. Wherever Pluto is, and he is a planet if you're an astrologer, he may be a dwarf planet according to the planetarium, but he's still a planet. And we know, because he spins on the outermost ring of our solar system, he spends a long time in each house he visits. And Pluto is now in Aquarius, but he's only giving us a little preview. Like I said, whenever the universe is going to do something big, he's in until June 11th, and then he goes back to Capricorn. He's coming in on January 20th in Aquarius, and he's staying until January 19th, 2044. a full 20 years.
Wow.
Now, I always think of Pluto talking to God. So God called Pluto up and saying, yeah, I need to talk to you. So Pluto was in Scorpio in 1995, but God said, I'm giving you a new assignment. You're moving into Sagittarius. Oh, okay, what am I doing in Sagittarius? Well, there's this new thing I created called the Internet. Well, Al Gore says he started it, but I actually did, said God. And I want you to help bring the world together through publishing, because Sagittarius is a publishing sign. And it is the sign that holds the keys to the libraries of the world. They are very concerned with accuracy the way Gemini is. That's the sign on the same axis, 180 degrees away. And I want you to really help develop the Internet. So Pluto said, okay, well, I have a team. Can I have somebody to help me? Well, I'm sending Uranus and Neptune in to help you, but they're coming in just as you're leaving. And they'll be in Aquarius so that they will push further what you started. And I'll tell you, in 1995, that's when I started Astrology Zone, 27 years ago. That's when the Internet was in its infancy. That year, Match.com started, and Amazon started that year. Google didn't start until the year 2000, but of course they were working on the best search engine we ever saw. They came out later. But if you can do a search and you can just see what site started in 1995, it was the bubbling, the primordial waters, so to speak.
So are you saying that right
Pluto
now?
Pluto worked on that, but then God called him back and said, I have another assignment for you. You have to leave. And when am I leaving? 2008. You're going into Capricorn. Okay, what am I doing? I don't like what's happening with the banking all over the world. They're taking advantage of poor people. They're giving them mortgages that they know they can't possibly, you know, keep and pay. And you have to straighten out the banking system. The minute Pluto went into Capricorn, we had the banking crisis. Well, he's now in Aquarius right now, but he's going back to Capricorn to finish up loose ends, because we have all these bank failures right now. So he's going to be working on that until January. But then he will be finished. And when he moves into Aquarius, our whole lives will change. Because, you know, we will have the robots. We'll have flying taxis. We'll have supersonic jets that get us places in half the time. But we'll also have AI. And whenever we have a new invention, we have to have a public forum. You know, like when we had sweatshops as a result of the Industrial Revolution, we had to have, you know, laws made and public discussion about, wait a minute, this isn't good. We can't have children working. You know, so there were, you know, laws. The trouble is governments are slow to pick up. Like, I remember when I started on the Internet, there were no laws. People were taking my content and copying and pasting it with their own byline. It was crazy. It was the Wild West. I never thought it would settle down, but it did. And if you remember, when you got your first computer, you couldn't see any movie on it. I mean, it was as big as a postage stamp, and after 1 minute, it would crash your computer. I thought, oh, my goodness, this is never going to work. But they figured it out. Same thing with what's going on now. AI is very scary. And when you really get into the weeds with it, it is scary. But yet it's exciting. Because in terms of medicine, they think it could cure cancer. It can take all the knowledge that's out there, put it together, and make recommendations. But we don't want it to make recommendations without the human, you know, intervention either. Secretary of State Kissinger was on television. He's going to be 100 years old. He was on Sunday. And he said, we can't have AI tell us how to run a war and just follow blindly. We have to think about the consequences. And, you know, there are always unintended consequences in any new invention. even social media, which we thought was so great. And it is. I love social media. I'm on all of them.
And but, speaking of...
I'm on Discord. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Astrology
and Facebook
Zone. There's too many Susan Millers.
Absolutely. So find also her website, astrologyzone.com. And Susan Miller has a couple apps, and you could find them by either looking up Susan Miller or Susan Miller Astrology or Astrology Zone. The apps are available for your phones.
On Google and on Google Play and Apple App Store, both.
Apps. And then also she has some calendars that we're going to talk about later. I'm looking at the one that's the year ahead in 2023 with beautiful art. It's in its, well, it's been going for so many years. And so every year.
Why self-publish? It's a joy. For me, I love writing, but I also like to create things.
Well, you've created a lot, and I asked you, how did you get so smart in so many words? And what you shared with me was fascinating. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that, because it's absolutely fascinating, probably something that most of the millions and millions of people who have read and connected with you and been to your website and all, probably don't know. So when we come back, another continued great conversation with our guest, Susan Miller. A little later on, we'll have our Ask Dorothy segment, and then our performance guest Rasa Priya is with us today, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at LifeChangesShow.com. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo online with Mark, and our guest is accredited lifestyle astrologer and founder of Astrology Zone, Susan Miller, the famous Susan Miller. And it's great having you on the show, Susan, and great getting to know you. You know, since astrology is based so much on our birthday, day and the time and where we were born in the world and all that. I thought for sure, specifically you, would have been born in all the perfect circumstances for you bring this information out into the world, right? And then you shared this incredible story of the perfect, incredibly hard circumstances that leave you.
Well, I have a very afflicted chart. But, you know, when you have an afflicted chart with all squares and hard things, the universe gives you a lot of energy. So the universe always gives you the tools that you need to deal with whatever you're facing. It doesn't leave you in a desert island, so to speak. I was born with a birth defect that caused excruciating pain, but also would come and go when I least expected it. So I couldn't travel. I couldn't go to camp. I couldn't stray far from home because I never knew when it was going to strike. It was my left leg, and it had to do with internal bleeding, but they didn't know it. They didn't have the equipment they have now. And when I was well, I was perfect. And when I was sick, I was in such trouble. When an attack would happen, I couldn't move an inch in the bed. Not an inch. My mother would change the sheets with me in the bed very gingerly.
Oh, my gosh.
Very carefully. So,
and
she
Susan,
knew
you
I
weren't believed, right?
Yeah. What's that?
You weren't believed.
Nobody believed me. You know, that's why I feel bad for prisoners who are unjustly accused. I know what it feels like. And nobody believes you. You have this little voice inside you crying, but you have to believe me, but nobody does. And they look at you like you're a little panda in the zoo, and you feel like there's like a plate glass window in front, and that they're kind of observing you and wondering if you're just crazy, you know? It wasn't until they operated on me when I was 14 that the mystery was solved. But I was in the hospital 11 months, and then I had to recover and learn how to walk again. I was paralyzed from the knee down, and I had a dropped foot. I couldn't feel anything. And they said, you know what? You're young. We're going to regenerate that nerve. And some of the interns said to me, that's not possible. It's never been done. And my doctor, who was chief of staff, got mad at them for disagreeing with him and whispering this to me. But I went through all the therapy, and some of it was really, really tough. And then I was to have more surgeries much later because they found out I had no marrow in my bone, which is why I kept breaking the thigh bone. And then each time they were afraid I'd bleed to death, so I'd have to stay in the hospital 8 months, 7 months, you know, in traction until it healed enough to put me in a cast. So, I mean, I think the first 20 years of my life I was waiting to start my life. But I didn't go to high school. I did homeschool. But I did go to college. I took all my exams in the hospital or at home with the teacher. And I went to New York University, and I did really well. But I went from junior high to college, which it was hard. I do not recommend homeschool to anybody, but I didn't have a choice. I had to be in physical therapy so much. You know, like at the gym, they tell you you have to skip a day. But with me, they didn't want me to skip a day. They would work on a different part of me the other days. So I was going every single day, 5 days a week. You know, my mom would come with me, and I had crutches and a great big metal brace. And
Susan,
people would stare at you, and I was wondering, am I ever going to look like everybody else? But I do.
Susan,
it opens your heart. You get something from everything you go through. Everything. Whoever you are today is the sum of all the things you've experienced. And
Susan, as a matter of fact, there's a phrase that you said that I almost applies to what we're going through right now, this bridge that's shaking.
Yeah.
You said that they used to put people in rooms together and then go on with that. Do you remember that part of the conversation?
No.
In the hospital, they would put people in rooms together.
They would never give you a private room. So you always had three or four people in a room. And I was in an orthopedic hospital because they thought my problem was bone until they went in and saw it was blood. And the other people in the room were having spinal operations and really serious things. So we'd all talk, and because, with anything with bone, you stay in the hospital a long time, usually. And we would say anticipation is worse than realization. We'd all get so scared before our surgeries, like, oh, are we going to live through this? Is this going to be okay? And then when we would finally come out of the ether and, you know, can talk, we would say, we could handle it. We could do it. It wasn't as bad as I was afraid it would be, you know, no matter how bad it was. God, I've had 40
blood
transfusions.
As
I mean, I've had a lot, you know. And, you know, when people say, did you have a good weekend? I think, yep, I didn't wind up in an ambulance. It was a good weekend.
Oh, my gosh. You know,
you get a whole different level of what good is, you know.
Susan, you weren't supposed...
I'm still grateful every day that, you know, I can walk and it doesn't leave you, you know.
Susan, you weren't supposed to do a lot of things like walk, and you weren't supposed to, according to them, have children. And
didn't want a bleeder, a person who bleeds internally, having children. That's why I had them really early. I wanted to have children so early. So I had both my daughters before I was 30. And I'm really glad I did, because if they ever figured out, see, my OBGYN didn't know how dangerous it was for me. But after the first child, he did realize. And they wanted to talk me out of the second one. But I said, two or none, but never one. And I said, you're impossible. They agreed to help me one more time, but they said, don't you ever come back here again. They told me, we thought you'd die during pregnancy, but after we did a cesarean on you, we realized you could die 5-6 months later.
Oh, my gosh.
And by the time we got to Central Park, you'd be dead.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, when they talk to you like that, I said, well, no, I only wanted two. It's okay. I'm not going to. I mean, I would
Susan,
love to have three, but no. Yeah.
Susan, we literally only have two more minutes left, but I would love to have you take a minute and let's honor your studies in astrology with your mother.
It came from little mom. She said, you have to study 12 years or you won't be any good, and I'm afraid you won't go the whole 12 years. I said, little mom, I live home. I'm 14. Of course, I will do anything you say. I love you. And I'm not exactly going to sneak out of the house. We live in a walk-up, two flights up. You would know if I were leaving. No, I don't have any friends because my friends are sick of me being sick. So, no, I will do what you say. There were relatives. We lived in a brownstone. My father's family was upstairs. My aunts and uncles and grandmother, you know, my three aunts lived upstairs. So there was always someone to practice on. But my mother said I must be in the room. She was very meticulous about her. But she not only taught me astrology, but philosophy. Why do bad things happen to good people and so forth? We would talk about philosophy and, you know, thinking back. You know, so I remember once I said to her, I was 9 years old, why do I have this old leg? I wish somebody else had this old leg. She said, what did you say? I said it again with defiance. Of course, I was in bed and I was sick again. It was over the summer. And she shook her head no, and she sat next to me and on a chair. Of course, not on the bed. I couldn't take any lopsided mattress. And she said to me,
wow.
Do you know you were picked for this?
Wow.
Is that possible? She said, we don't know why we're... on earth. We're little soldiers of God. We don't know. It's possible. What if I told you your pain would take away someone else's pain in the world, Susan? Well, that changed everything. I went from feeling unlucky to very lucky. I'll never forget that moment. I'll never forget that. And I said, where would that other person live? She said, well, I don't know, and she laughed. And I said, could it be a little girl in China my age? She said, why not? Sure. And I was to go to China 3 times so far. The Chinese people love me. They keep sending me tickets to come over and speak. And she said, anything's possible. But I felt so lucky that I had this illness because it opened my heart. And if I could make even one person feel better, then I've achieved my aim, definitely. Hello?
We're back. Have we been on air this whole time? Has Susan, have you been sharing? Hello, Kaylin? Susan? Have we lost?
She was continuing.
Oh, okay. And where are we now? Susan, is she still on? Oh my gosh. Like
she just hung up. She finished.
Retrograde. I asked her just before the show because we were having trouble connecting, and she says we couldn't do the Zoom thing. She said, call me on this number so we won't get any drop calls. And and I said, are we still retrograde? Is Mercury? And she's, oh yes. And so we've learned so much. My gosh, it feels like this is just the beginning of a conversation, a great conversation with Susan, and it so has been. And we look forward to another time. But in the meantime, we got so much from Susan Miller. Visit astrologyzone.com to not only learn more about her, but actually to have your own astrology read, or you can get it through the apps that are on Apple Store and Google Play. Astrology Zone Horoscopes, Susan Miller, or Moonlight Phases by Susan Miller. Again, astrologyzone.com. And the book that we were talking about at the beginning of the show is available on Kindle and bookbaby.com, and that is The Next 200 Years, which sound very exciting. So with all of that, a big thank you to our guest, Susan Miller. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Victoria from Galveston, Texas. We met years ago, and I have been following you on the internet and listening to the Life Changes show. I would love to hear your definition of truth and how one can discern what is true or false in today's world.
My dear Victoria, thank you for this great question, and your timing is impeccable, as I was just reading an amazing definition of truth written by Dee Wallace. Dee Wallace is not only a great actress, she's also a magnificent healer and has a way of sharing truth. We were blessed to have her as a guest on our show, and you can find this great conversation in our archives. Dee shares wonderful things daily, and you can subscribe to her daily messages at imdwallace.com. I was so impressed with what she said about truth today, and I'm sharing it with you here, as I'm not sure I could have said it any better. So here goes. You know the old saying, the truth she'll set you free. The challenge here is to define truth. There are universal truths, gravity, Everything is energy. There are world truths. Nuclear war is dangerous. People are starving. All people want peace. All governments are driven by politics. And then there are personal truths. And personal truths are where our power of creation really lies. Personal truths are truths we decide to adopt. You can honor your fellow man or you can judge him. You can choose to honor your body or you can abuse it. You can choose responsibility in the creation of your life or you can defer it to someone, something else, happenstance. What is interesting is that when we own our truths, we affect world truths. How we create ourselves affects the world. And that, my friends, is the truth. Thank you, Dee Wallace, for sharing your wisdom. And thank you, Victoria, for this timely and important question.
And thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be back with our performance guest, Rasa Priya, all the way from Hawaii here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. Wow. Well, this is very interesting to have this particular guest at this particular time during this show, because it feels like ushering into this new way of being, we need support, and music is a great support for that, on top of which our performance guest does so much with the music, and he's going to talk about that. So our performance guest is sacred sound alchemist and shamanic sound healer, Rasa Priya. Welcome, Rasa, to the Life Changes Show.
Aloha, Filippo. Thank you for having me.
Aloha. I didn't mention Maui, as a matter of fact, and it's so interesting that both of you and our interview guests are both live right now and both at complete opposite ends of the United States, you in Maui and her in New York. So how special is that? And we're kind of somewhere in the middle in Los Angeles. And tell us about your work with sound.
Well, I focus my work is sound healing, and I really focus on the shadow work. That's my specialty. I help people dive deep into who they are, their humanness, and their human tendencies, conditioning, their wounding, etc. And I help them integrate that into their spiritual life. You know, a lot of times we're used to fragmenting, kind of separating our humanness from spirituality. And my job is to actually reveal the integration of both scenarios, both situations.
It's interesting to me that Susan was sharing. So I asked her about her story growing up, and your story growing up leads you to this work in such a big way.
Yes. As a child, I was abused. I went through a lot, what a lot of people go through. I went through a lot of abuse, very challenging childhood times. And from that, I developed a lot of really bad habits, very poor self-esteem, self-worth issues. I just had a lot of hostility, a lot of anger, a lot of deep shadows. I was not very kind growing up. I was very selfish, self-interested, dishonest. I had a lot of things going on for me that were not particularly in the light, so to speak.
And you're knowing that this came from, because I would like to think that not a lot of people go through the particular abuses that you went through, but probably more than I know. But it was very specific, right?
Yes. No, very, very specific. I had physical abuse, emotional abuse, and later on in my teens, I had some sexual abuse also. So, but, you know, I'm not really here to focus so much on the abuse. I really am here to provide the opportunity for hope. Like, it really doesn't matter where we come from. And I can say that my particular wounding has led me right to this moment, right? As Susan was saying, you know, the sum of who she is right now. And all those experiences have led me to this point and given me the openness. And from my own healing of my own shadows, when I look at someone else going through and expressing their wounding, I have compassion and empathy. I don't judge them and think of them as less. And, you know, I don't feel fragmented from them. I actually feel connected, like, oh, brother, sister, I understand the way that you walk through the world, why you express yourself the way you do. I get it.
And so when you support people with their past and their issues and their shadow and help them integrate, then they have that opportunity more so as well, right?
Absolutely. What happens is, and what happened for myself is, it's self-love. You know, instead of trying to get rid of those things, you know, like get rid of my jealousy, my anger, all those things, my dishonesty, I actually integrated that into my life, into my humanness, realizing that I'm only human in this moment, but I am human embodied right now, so what can I do? So I integrate that, and then I can connect deeply with my spiritual life, and I don't have that battle with inside, you know, am I human, am I spirit, am I doing the right thing? I can simply try my best, you know, I can fail, no problem, get up and do it again, and keep going. And from that, it gives me the opportunity to hold that space for others. And when I hold the space for others in that way, that is the healing medicine. You know, they don't need people to push them down, condemn them, judge them. They need someone that could at least be compassionate, empathetic, have some understanding where they might be coming from. Why is their perspective the way it is? And I find that that can be a very healing agent if that can be shared heart to heart.
Mm. So your music, now, interestingly enough, you sent us so much music that we got to enjoy. And we've picked the Shiva chant, which is interesting because in this time, Shiva in Hinduism is known as the destroyer, right? So this is we're in the middle of destruction and creation, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love the destroyer is the destruction of the illusion, of the attachments, of the things that no longer serve us. So, you know, there's the destroyer, the creator, and the maintainer. So this part of the journey, the destruction of conditioning, of illusion, it's very, very powerful and transformative time.
Well, we get to experience this prayer or this chant by Rasa Priya, previously recorded Shiva chant here on the Life Changes Show. You know, I probably should have said, if you're driving, you might consider pulling over and experiencing this. That was Shiva chant by Rasa Priya. And to learn more about him and his work, MauiSoundHealing.com, just as it sounds, and Shamanic Sound Healing, is it .buzzsprout.com?
Yes.
So we have those links on our webpage for Rasa Priya. Rasa, you obviously bring forth something through your music, and it also is something that you understandings and learnings that you have had in this human body. At the same time, though, you also connect with what is it, other beings, like you've seen beings or you've had experiences, right, throughout your life?
Absolutely. I've had many different experiences. You know, I'm always a little guarded to say what is what, because in the truth is, I have no idea. Mm. You know, I use relative terms, but I have experienced a variety of phenomena. I mean, even about a month ago, I was getting ready to do two sound healings back to back, and I had gone into some realm as I was warming up, and I had to go get my wife and have her keep me grounded so we could, you know, do these sound healings here for our guests. But I was experiencing very unusual phenomena. And from childhood, I had visions and dreams and things come to me. I had this particular moment of time revealed to me. I didn't know what projection was when I was 7 years old, but I had this dream inside of a dream, and I was shown this particular time period where people were seen through their own perspective, their own selves, and they were projecting onto others and attacking people based on their own perception. And, you know, at 7, that makes absolutely no sense, but that's just an example of something that...
And must have been scary.
You know, it was not scary. There was a time when I went into realms that I was scared, because I grew up with a Christian background, so I, you know, there was a heaven and hell, good versus evil thing. And there was a period of time when it was extremely scary when that darkness came to me. But what happened was, there was nowhere to run. I had to sit and allow it to come. Mm. Once I surrendered to the darkness, I realized that I could not be taken. It lost its power on me.
Mm.
You know, and like the darkness and the light, for me in that moment, they were one and the same.
Which is part of your work now.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned your wife, because we get to do something very special here. If I understand it correctly, you recorded it for the show, what we're about to hear. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so this is very special. Tell us what we're going to experience. It's just a little short piece, but it before you do that, actually, so you and your wife are doing something with your child that we all probably would have loved to have grown up with, but it was meant to be, and here we are. And so tell us what you are doing.
Yes, well, we practice something called conscious parenting. We learn from Dr. Shefali. And basically the idea is to, instead of project our ideas, our ideals, our values onto our child and have him grow up the way that we think he should be, we're allowing him to emerge as he naturally wants to. And it's very difficult on us. Sometimes we have to deal with things that we would prefer not to. It's very hard. Mm. But we really believe on his emergence. You know, who does he want to be? What does divinity have in store for him? And how can we get out of the way and really support that? So this next clip that I believe you're going to share is actually my six-year-old son, Teo, playing the gongs with me during a little thing that we did together. And I just, I just really want to share that idea and how rich that is. There's so much in our children right now. You know, I think we have so many labels about kids who are sensory and all that, but I think it's just a different time period. And, you know, it's society that needs to get out of the way for what's happening, not really have them merge into our ideas. So that's what Sarah and I are trying to do. Really allow this light being to come in and do his thing, even if it goes against some of our comfort.
Well, here's this light being and our performance guest, Rasa Priya, performing together, doing their thing, recorded for the Life Changes show. That was special. Rasa, thank you for that. That's Rasa Priya and his son, Teo, on the Life Changes show. What a special opportunity to have you again, all the way from Maui, here on the Life Changes show live with us. MauiSoundHealing.com is where you can find out more about Rasa online. And again, at ShamanicSoundHealing.Buzzsprout.com. Again, those links are on our website, as well as a sound healing with Rasa and Sarah Sundari in video form on the Life Changes Show website. Rasa, thank you so much. This has been very special. And
you're
thank
so
you for
welcome.
What you're doing.
Yes, and thank you for what you're doing as well. Thank you for sharing and really being a bridge for all of us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for that. It means a lot coming from you. And there's that word again, bridge. So with that, with another big thank you to Rasa Priya and to Susan Miller, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, and will for the next 200 years at least, reminding you, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com. On Facebook at The Life Changes Show and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.